Let's stand together and let's just read this verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Again, back in verse 12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I want to preach to you tonight about standing on slippery ground. Standing on slippery ground. The Bible warns us, "Take heed, he that standeth." Take heed. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, ask you to bless our time together tonight. Please work in our hearts and encourage us and help us through your word. Lord, we want to have victory in our lives. And through your word and through your power, it's possible. And just help us now tonight, please, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You ever had some big falls on slippery ground before? And it's happened to me numerous times in my life. And maybe a couple weeks ago, it happened again. I was coming in on a Thursday after our garbage day, and I was dressed up, and I had my dress shoes on, which they can be very slippery out there on the snow. They're really, really slick, leather bottom or wood bottom or something. And there I was. I decide I'll get the garbage can and blue boxes and all that stuff at the end of the road, and I'll take it in beside the house. And here I was out in the middle of our road with our plastic garbage can, and all of a sudden I went for a big slide, and I go crashing down, and I'm not sure if I expected the garbage can to hold me up or what, but I crashed down and smashed our garbage can, and that wasn't a delightful feeling. You wonder all then, you know, what all neighbors are watching out their windows. I know this one old Italian lady. I know she was probably watching. She lives there alone, and she's the type that's probably watching at the window, seeing everything that's going on. But that was a little embarrassing out there in the middle of the road, falling down like that. Another time, many years ago, when I was a teenager, some of you have heard this before, but we were out on team soul winning on a Wednesday night after school and before church, and we were visiting in a trailer park, a mobile home type of area, and there in Barrie. And after we were at this home and we were gonna leave and we were gonna go down the wooden stairs there, I slipped on maybe some ice or whatever there on the stairs, and I go sliding down the stairs. And I slid right under the edge of a car that was pulled up in the driveway right close to the stairs. And here I am now laying flat on the ground with my legs underneath the front of the car. And their dog comes. And their dog runs under the car. And there does his business right there on my dress shoe. And I'll never forget that time. There was some danger there in slipping on that icy ground that time. We're never quite as secure in our standing as we think we are. And we need to be careful, don't we? My wife, a couple years ago, some of you know that she really hurt her shoulder pretty bad. And she had therapy for a long time and got better. And it's kind of been bothering her, though, some recently. But from slipping on the ice and so on outside our home. We may not be as secure in our standing as we think we are. And the results of falling, can I tell you something, they may not be very nice either. They may not be very nice. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. The Bible says here in Corinthians 10, again, if you look at it, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." We need to be on guard in our lives, because the tempter is always on the prowl, trying to take us down with sin, trying to take us down with temptation. You know, we could sometimes maybe get a little overconfident in ourselves and think, well, I'm okay. You know, I'm pretty strong. Or I'm a pretty good Christian. I don't think I would fall to sin in my life. Or I think I could handle a little bit of sin and it won't bother me. You know, I'll be able to maintain. I'm okay with a little sin in my life. Or we can think, I'm okay with temptation. I'm strong enough that I can deal with it and I can handle it. But God tells us to be on guard. The Bible tells us to be careful, him that standeth, lest ye fall. Again, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll look there at verse number 8. This is a familiar verse to most of you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. What does the Bible warn us here? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that doesn't sound like a very nice adversary, and it's not. It's the devil that it's talking about, and the devil is real. We might sometimes people would make think, well, is he just some imaginary being? You know, he's this guy with a pitchfork and horns. No, he's not. He's an angel of light. He looks nothing like that, and he's a deceiver. He is the devil, and he is the trickster, and he is a liar and the father of all lies, the Bible says. And he wants to tempt people to sin and tempt us to do wrong and tempt us to try to take us away from what the Lord would want for our lives. We need to be careful. We need to be careful because he wants to take us down. Turn with me back to the book of Galatians, if you would, in chapter number 6. Galatians chapter 6. While you're turning there, let me share something else with you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 reminds us not to think of ourselves more highly than what we ought to think. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than what we ought to think. We need to be careful thinking, well, I'm strong. You know, I'm pretty good. I'm okay. I'm standing. I won't fall to temptation. I won't fall to sin. I'm strong. I'm a strong man, or I'm a strong Christian. We need to be careful with that thinking. The Bible says we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And anybody who's standing today is in danger of falling. When I just went to get the garbage cans and bring the garbage can in, I didn't expect that I was in danger of falling right there in the middle of the street and making a fool of myself and smashing up our garbage can. But we need to be careful, don't we? We need to be careful. That night when my wife went out to just, she was going to go out to the store that night, and when she slipped there and fell on our front porch and hurt herself pretty bad, we always need to be careful. And I don't mean just in our standing and walking. I mean spiritually in our standing for the Lord and being able to stand against the devil and stand against temptation. Any one of us is capable of falling. It's wrong for us to go and just point fingers at other people and say, how sad it is that somebody else, or look at some Christian who used to live for God and now they're not living for him anymore and how they fell into sin in their life. Listen, we are all capable of falling. You know that every time we point a finger at somebody else, we got three fingers pointing back at ourselves? We all need to realize any one of us at any time is capable of falling into sin. And we need to be careful about our standing, guard ourselves. The Bible says to take heed to that. Any of us is capable of falling. Galatians there in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It says, if you know, or you know, even a Christian brother or sister was to share with you that they have a fault, they have a sin in their life, they have something that they're struggling with. He says, if you're spiritual, you have to restore such an one. You're not to sit there in judgment with your finger pointing at them and condemning them. No, you're to restore them and to help them and to lift them up. Because he says, you be careful. You're in danger of falling yourself. You're in danger of falling to that temptation. We need to be careful. Look at verse 3, Galatians 6, 3. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Any of us is capable of falling. We're standing on slippery ground when we think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to think. We need to remember, we're all capable of falling into sin. We're all capable of falling into temptation. And by that, we can do many things where we would wreck our life or ruin our life or forfeit sometimes God's blessings in our life. The Bible told us, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." So we need to be careful. We need to realize tonight that any one of us is capable of falling. We're not on a sure footing as we think we are. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We're not to think that we're something more than what we are. We need to be honest. Remember, we're standing on slippery ground. Remember that it's easy and any one of us is capable of falling into sin and temptation. So what are we supposed to do about it? What are we supposed to do? Let me share with you some things tonight. 38 things. No, just kidding. But it will be a list of things tonight. A few things from the Bible. What are some things that we can do? Realize, you know, we're on slippery ground and we may not be as in as good a standing as we think we are. And we all need to constantly be on guard to make sure that the tempter, make sure that the devil doesn't take us down. And what are we going to do? Number one, remember God is watching you. Remember God is watching you and he's not deceived. Again, if you'll go back to Galatians chapter 6, I want to look down a bit further into that chapter. Galatians chapter 6 and down in verse number 7 and 8. I said this, number one, we need to remember that God is watching. Remember God is watching you and he is not deceived. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know what you sow in the ground? That's what you can expect to reap. That's the harvest you can expect from it. Do you know that when we sow, we can sow to the flesh? We're going to reap of the flesh. We need to be careful. God is not mocked. The Bible says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Remember, God's not deceived. God will not be mocked. And God knows what we're doing. Sometimes we may think, well, I'm getting away with it. God doesn't know. Nobody sees. God always sees. God sees the good. God sees the bad. And God is watching you. And we can think sometimes, well, maybe I'm getting away with my sin. What if we think, well, God doesn't seem to be punishing me, so I must be getting away with it. The Bible reminds us, be not deceived. God's not mocked. It may be sowing season right now. But for every farmer that sows the seed, you know there's a harvest time? There's a reaping time. And it comes in seasons. We may be sowing in the flesh. And we may be sowing the seeds of our sin right now. Those wild oats of sins, as they're sometimes called. But there's going to be a day of reaping. There's going to be a day of reckoning when God will judge that. God will punish that. Don't think, well, I'm getting away with my sin and it's okay. We're not getting away with it. We're not fooling God. We're not deceiving God. So remember, God is watching you. He's not deceived. Don't think it's okay. I'm getting away with it. We're not. Second thing I want you to remember is this. Children are watching you. Children are watching you. You think about it if you're an adult or especially if you're a mom and dad. Children are watching you. They're watching your example. Children see an awful lot. And they're watching us. They're watching the example that we're setting. And we need to be careful about how we live. We need to be careful about the things that we do and be careful not to live in sin and give in to temptation because our children are watching us. Our children are watching us and we're setting an example for them. What are we to do? Remember, God is watching you and he's not deceived. Number two, remember, children are watching you. Number three, look with me at Colossians. If you're in Galatians still, turn over just a few pages to look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Point number three tonight is this. Remember that someone is likely praying for you. Someone is likely praying for you. You know, there may be someone, there may be a husband, or there may be a wife, or there may be a pastor, or there may be a parent, or there may be somebody in your life who they probably know. Even if you don't think they know, they probably know about some struggle you have in your life. And if you have some spiritual influences around you in your life, you may have a parent or you may have a spouse or you may have a pastor that is praying for you to have victory in that area of your life. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12 says this, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Paul told them, Paul reminded them, hey, you've got a man who's been praying for you. You've got a man who's been praying for you, Christians, that you would stand complete and that you would stand spiritually mature in the will of God. And he wanted that to be a challenge to them. Hey, listen, you be faithful and you do the right thing, because there's a man that's been fervently praying for you. There's been someone that's been laboring in prayer for you, that you would stand before God as righteous, that you would stand before God having done the right things and not given into temptation and not fallen to the world. They had somebody that was praying for them, that wanted to see them keep on standing and keep on doing what was right. You know, you might have somebody praying for you like that as well. You might have somebody praying like that for you as well. Remember, God is watching you and he's not deceived. Remember, children are watching you. Number three, remember, someone is likely praying for you. And number four, remember, God has promised us a way of escape. God has promised us a way of escape to overcome temptation. Again, back in Corinthians chapter number 10, where we read as our text verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, he said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Do you know that others have faced similar temptations to what you may face? And we might think sometimes, it's just impossible. I can never overcome it. I can never get the victory. I'm never going to be able to overcome this. But God says that's not true. God said he has made a way of escape, and he can give you the power, and there is a way for you to overcome that temptation in your life. Somebody may struggle with a certain vice. Somebody may struggle with a certain sin in their life and think, I'm never going to be able to give that up. Even when I try, sometimes I keep going back to that sin over and over and over again. Sometimes people, when they struggle with addictions, listen, to what we classify as addictions, we can have all kinds of sins in our life that are little addictions with us. And any one of those may seem difficult to overcome, but they are not impossible to overcome. God has given us a way of escape. And we need to remember, it is possible to overcome our sin. It is possible to overcome temptation in our life. He has promised us that way of escape. Number five is this: be honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Be honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Again, back there in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Well, we're to be honest about our weaknesses. We're to be honest about our weaknesses. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to be able to, as Christians, we ought to care enough for one another that we could pray for one another about our weaknesses. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with ourselves. It does no good to say, well, I'm okay. I'm doing good. If we're struggling with something in our life, we need to be honest about that. We need to strengthen our weaknesses or work on our weaknesses by maybe asking spiritual leaders and friends to pray for us or to help us. We need to make ourselves accountable to others. Again, that's all a part of bearing one another's burdens. When you take it in context for what it was talking about in that verse, it was talking about a person's sins. Their faults, in a couple places in the Bible, really is referring to people's sins and their struggles in their life in that way. And we're to bear that burden with them, that we would pray for them and we would help them and we would be accountable to each other to try to help them get the victory over that in their life. It ought to be that we could share our weaknesses with others and ask them to pray for us or make ourselves accountable to them, to ask them to check on us and make sure we're doing the right thing. Maybe we can memorize scriptures that help us to overcome some area that we struggle with. That can be a great help to a person, but we should make ourselves accountable. Be honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Number six tonight is this: be honest with God. Be honest with God about your condition. We need to remember something. God already knows anyways. God already knows anyways, doesn't he? If we're not honest with him, well, we're just deceiving ourselves because we're not deceiving God, right? God knows. God knows our weaknesses. God knows our sins. We need to be honest with God about our condition. Turn back with me to the book of 1 John, if you would. 1 John in chapter number 1. 1 John in chapter 1, there in verse number 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." We just need to be honest. Be honest with God. We can't deceive ourselves to say, "Well, I'm walking in the light." We can't do that when we're walking in darkness. God knows. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We can't say, "Well, I've got close fellowship with the Lord, and I've got a great relationship with the Lord," if we're walking in sin. That's just not true. And God says, "I want you to be honest. If we've got sin, confess that sin, because he is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin." Be honest with God. Be honest about yourself. Be honest about your spiritual condition. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. What are we to do? Number one, remember that God is watching you, and he is not deceived. He's not mocked. Number two, remember that your children are watching you. Number three, remember that someone is likely praying for you. Number four, remember that God has promised us a way of escape to overcome temptation. Don't give in where the devil may try to play games and with your mind and say, "Oh, you're never going to be able to defeat that. You're always, for the rest of your life, going to linger on in that sin." That's not true. You can overcome. With God's help and God's power and the weapons that God tries to give us, we can have victory if we'll take advantage of that. We can have victory. There is a way of escape. Number five, be honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Number six, be honest with God about your condition. And number seven, we must guard our hearts. We must guard our hearts. Back in Proverbs chapter 4, turn there with me if you would. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We must guard our hearts. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, and verse number 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence. Diligence. Diligently guard your heart. Diligently protect your heart. Why? Because the devil's after your heart. Satan is after your heart. Satan wants to steal your heart away from God. Satan wants to tempt you from sin and wrong and keep you from doing what you ought to do. We need to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Number eight, avoid those who would tempt you to sin. I understand in life there are times where we cannot just avoid temptation. We can avoid sin. And we're to resist evil, and we're to resist sin and resist the devil. But sometimes temptation will just come our way, and we're to turn from that. But you know what? We need to be smart enough sometimes that we avoid possible temptation. That we avoid those who we know that they're likely to tempt us to sin. It does no sense for somebody who's struggling with something, some addiction in their life, to just go back to the place where they know that there's some old friends that will try to get them to do that wrong. That would make no sense. You don't do that. You avoid that. You avoid those who would tempt you to sin. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." That's what you're supposed to do right now with this message. Take hold of it. Take fast hold of it. Take strong hold of it. Because God is trying to give us some instruction that will help us in the way of life. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." In other words, you need to avoid those that you know are those that will tempt you to do wrong. That will tempt you to sin. You trying to overcome something. If you became a Christian and now you want to live the right kind of life, you don't go back to some of the places where you used to always go. That'll bring you right back into the struggle of that sin. We're to avoid that. We're to avoid those who would tempt us to sin. It says in verse 14, enter not into the paths of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Let me just give you an example. What if you had a person who before they were saved, they always struggled with a drinking problem. And they got drunk all the time. And they went to a certain bar, perhaps. And then old people there became their friends. And they always struggled with that. But then they got saved and they wanted to give that up. You know what makes sense? Go another way. Drive another way. Don't go drive by that same place every day and be tempted to go in with those old friends and do the same things. That's what it says. That's what it says. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. It says in verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Do you know there are some that would gladly try to welcome you in with their sin? They would gladly try to welcome you in to do wrong with them. And the Bible says, you avoid that. You avoid that. We are to avoid those who we know would tempt us to sin and tempt us to do wrong. The book of Proverbs, again, is such a good book to study, but all throughout it, it's giving warnings to God's people about how we should avoid those who would tempt us to sin. There's many different kinds of warnings dealing with, you know, many types of things and moral living, and we need to be careful to avoid those who would tempt us to sin. That's good for the adults, that's good for the young people, but avoid it. Avoid temptation when possible. Avoid sin. Avoid sinners that we know would try to get us to do wrong. Avoid those who would tempt you to sin. What are we to do? What are we to do? I said, number one, remember that God is what? He's trying to give you a hint. Remember, God is watching you and He's not deceived. Number two, remember that children are watching you. Number three, remember that someone is likely praying for you. Number four, remember that God has promised us a way of escape to overcome temptation. Number five, be honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Number six, be honest with God about your condition. Number seven, guard your heart. Guard it, the Bible says. Number eight, avoid those who would tempt you to sin. And number nine, hide God's word in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart. Back in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, beginning there in verse number 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Person wants their life to be cleansed. A person wants to live a new life. What are they supposed to do? Take heed to the word of God. Fill their heart, fill their mind with the word of God. Let it wash them, let it cleanse them, let it change them. It says in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know why that's important? Because a Christian who will get up and they'll fill their heart and fill their mind with the word of God, they're less likely to want to do that wrong thing when the temptation comes. Because when you filled your heart and filled your mind with the word of God, God will remind you of those verses that you read. God will remind you of those verses that you filled your heart with and filled your mind with when that temptation comes. And that will help give you the strength to do the right thing when faced with that situation, when faced with temptation. If all I do is feed my flesh, then when I'm faced with temptation, my flesh is going to want to do what the flesh wants to do. But if I feed my spiritual nature, I got a fighting chance. Because I can yield then to the Spirit. The Spirit will be much more dominant in my life. And I can choose to do the right thing. We need to fill our hearts and fill our minds with the Word of God. Hide God's Word in your heart. The Bible teaches us that is a way to overcome, a way to escape, a way to help us hide God's Word in your heart. Turn with me back to the New Testament, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says here, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I wrote number 10 this way, and you could talk about it in lots of different ways, but number 10 is simply this: parent yourself. Parent yourself. You know what a parent does? They're trying to watch out for the best interests of their children, right? Parents, we're real good at trying to help our children to do right. We're real good at trying to, you know, want to develop character in our children and want our kids to do the right thing and want to discipline them to do the right thing. Well, we need to parent ourselves. We need to parent ourselves. What we would preach to our kids, what we would say to our kids, what we would tell our kids and try to get them to do right. Hey, we need to say that to ourselves. When we would try to make our kids do the right thing, we need to make ourselves do the right thing. We need to have the character to parent ourselves, to lead ourselves. That is one of the most difficult things in life. Parenting yourself is harder than parenting your children. It really is. We need to have the character where we parent ourselves and make ourselves do the right thing. Parent yourself. Parent yourself. Discipline yourself to do the right thing. Number 11. We're almost through. It won't be 38, I promise you. Number 11. Don't go back to the things that God saved you from. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Don't go back to things that God saved you from. You know what? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's really a theme verse for a lot of addiction programs. Comes from the Bible. Because it's true. But if those who are know Christ and know the Lord, we know that the truth it's speaking about is truly to know Christ. He is the truth. Christ, and He is the one that His power can change a life and transform a life. He's the one that wants to set us free and take us from the bondage of sin. Make us free. But Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." It says, hey, you've been set free. Christ set you free. He saved you. Now don't go back. Don't get tangled up in that same yoke of bondage. Don't go back to get tangled up again in some of those sins that gripped you and controlled you before you got saved. Why would you ever go back? Why would we ever go back? He warns us, don't go back to some things that God saved you from. Don't go back and get your life tangled up in sin all over again. Don't you see that you were a servant to sin? You were in bondage to sin. And when Christ has saved you and set you free, don't ever go back to those things. Don't go back to those things. Galatians 5 and verse number 17. Galatians 5 and verse 17 says this: "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would." Verse 16, before that, says this: "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." We understand it is a battle raging. When a person gets saved, we still have a sinful flesh nature, but now we have a spiritual nature. The Spirit of God, God Himself, comes to live inside of our spirit. And we have the flesh nature and we have the spiritual nature. And Paul talked about in Romans how even himself, the great apostle Paul, how there was a battle between that flesh nature and the spiritual nature. But we're challenged here in these verses and we're taught how to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Feed the Spirit. Feed your spiritual nature. Don't just feed your flesh nature. Number 13 and last is this. Number 12 was walk in the Spirit. Number 13 last is this: crucify the flesh daily. Crucify the flesh daily. Down in verse 24. Galatians 5:24. "And they that are Christ." They that are Christ. In other words, He has possession of us. We are His. We've been saved. We belong to the Lord. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Again, even as we were reading in Romans 6 this morning, we were talking about baptism. There is supposed to be a decision made to crucify the flesh, to put it to death and to live a resurrected life. to walk in newness of life after we get saved. But can I tell you something? This flesh is so rotten and nasty, and it tries to rear its ugly head all the time, that we need to crucify our flesh every day. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Because he knew the importance of it. He had to put that flesh to death. He had to crucify it daily. Crucify his flesh nature. Crucify his sinful nature. Put it to death. We cannot be overconfident in our flesh's ability to do what is spiritual and right. Because our flesh wants to do what is sinful and worldly. Our flesh is going to want to do what our sinful flesh nature wants to do. And we've got to crucify that flesh, crucify that sinful nature daily. We must put our flesh to death and feed our spiritual nature. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word of God. Fill your heart and mind with good things. When faced with temptation, what should we say? No. No. Again, that's part of having the character to parent ourselves. We're good at telling our children no when they sometimes need to be told no. Hey, we need to say no to ourselves. When temptation comes our way, have the character to say no. No, I'm not going to do that. No, you can't do that. No, that's wrong. The Bible tells us, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Say no. Say no. We got to have the character to say no to sin and say no to temptation. Because, hey, it can wreck and destroy our life. We need to be careful about our standing. Be careful to think, well I'm pretty good. Be careful. Be careful. We might think, well, I'm standing right now. Well, you could slip and fall at any time. We can slip and fall to temptation. None of us are immune. None of us are so great that I'll live a perfect life. I'll never sin. We need to be careful. We need to guard ourselves and guard our heart and guard ourselves, because the tempter, hey, he even if you think you're strong or may be somewhat strong, the tempter's after you. The tempter doesn't want your life to honor God and glorify God. He's going to try to destroy it by sin. He's going to try to destroy it by coming to tempt you and tempt me. And we need to be careful. I said this, remember that God is watching you. He's not deceived. If we think, well, I'm getting away with my sin. Remember, God is not mocked. You may be sowing in your seeds of sin right now, but there's a reaping time coming. The Bible promises that. God is not mocked. Remember, God is watching you. He's not deceived. Remember, number two, that children are watching you. Number three, remember that someone is likely praying for you. Someone is praying for you. They want you to have victory. There's somebody that wants you to stand complete before God one day. There's somebody that wants to see you stand and be spiritually mature and have lived a life where you've not been taken down by the tempter, and you can stand before God, the life that pleases Him. Number four, remember God has promised a way of escape to overcome temptation. The devil may, again, there's such a battle in our mind, and he may try to come and make us think we'll never be able to get victory over that sin. But that's not true. Don't believe him. He's a liar. He's a liar. Children, don't listen to the devil. He's a liar. God has promised us a way of escape. Number five, be honest with yourself about your weaknesses and seek help. Ask others to pray for you. Make yourself accountable to others. Number six, be honest with God about your condition. Number seven, guard your heart. Number eight, avoid those who would tempt you to sin. Boy, that's a pretty smart thing. Don't on purpose go and put yourself in a position where you know there are those that would tempt you to do wrong or tempt you to do evil. Avoid that. Avoid that. Sometimes we have seemingly just even lack common sense, where somebody that struggled with something, they keep going back to the same place, the same things, the same friends that they've always done wrong with. Something's got to change. Avoid those that would tempt you to sin. Number nine, hide God's Word in your heart. Fill your heart, fill your mind with the Word of God. Number 10, parent yourself. Parent yourself. Number 11, don't go back to the things that God saved you from. He set you free from that. And the Bible says, don't become entangled in that again. Number 12, walk in the Spirit. You must choose to walk in the Spirit. And number 13, crucify the flesh daily. Crucify the flesh daily.